D&D Dungeons Academy. No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 4. Alidora Stillstrike. Zelly pushed away from the Sphinx statue standing, her mouth hardening into a firm line of resolve. It was time to get answers. Why had the Stillstrikes abandoned her? Why didn't they want her? What would they say if they knew she was now living a double life as the very thing they hated and hunted? If she left and left soon, she could find answers and avoid any problems with students or staff. Her outburst in class had nearly knocked her horns clean off. Surely someone had noticed. Surely someone would start asking questions. She was a human. She didn't want to know what happened when anyone on school grounds started asking the right questions. Her mothers were powerful and intimidating, but they couldn't protect her from every single creature at Dungeon Academy. So, when do we leave? She stood, whirled, and clamped her hands over her mouth before a shriek could escape. Hugo, Snabla, and Bobble were there watching her, eavesdropping on the same conversation, only a few yards away.
How long have you been standing there?
She asked, crossing her arms over her chest.
Long enough to know our classmates are in trouble, Bobble said,
still transformed into a large book, the mimic placed in the circle.
We didn't mean to surprise you.
Yes, we did,
Snabla spat.
Hugo's head of the Lurking Club.
That explained how an owlbear of his size could sneak up on her. He didn't have the stink of an overachiever. The other two were small enough not to make much noise, and after all, she had been rather distracted by the prospect of being reunited with her long-lost human family. Right. That. She shied and shook her head, then pushed past them, marching down the corridor towards the Western Fork, which would take her to the lift that offered access to the dormitories.
You shouldn't go alone,
Hugo called, hurrying after her. The slide of the pages across the floor and the pitter-patter of the little feet told her the others were giving chase too.
Who says I'm going anywhere?
Zelly refused to look at them.
You stand up for the endangered,
the owlbear pointed out when he was at her side. His big legs made catching her easy.
You don't know anything about me.
And that was true. Hugo couldn't know her real motives for leaving or what she hoped to discover once she reached Horn Tree Village.
She wants all the glory for herself,
Snabla cried.
But I will go. My shield is ready.
He banged heartily on the shield face, a few wooden scales snapping and falling off. Snabla hurriedly scooped them away with his toes turning a funny color. They had nearly reached the lift, the massive clattering chains as thick as tree trunks in sight. Zelly knew then that she couldn't outrun them, and that they were annoyingly persistent. So as soon as they reached the landing outside the platform, she spun and gave them each a deliberately cross look. She would roar only if they forced her hand.
Your shield is nothing more than a few busted toothpicks,
Zelly told the kobold, pointing at his rickety prized possession. His torn ears lowered, even more bedraggled, as she yelled at him. They wouldn't last a second outside the school, and they wouldn't last a blink against Alidora Stillstrike, her potential family.
And you can't turn into anything useful at all.
She leveled this at the mimic, who instantly poofed into a decorative pillow and hid behind Snabla.
And you're a vegetarian. A vegetarian owlbear. Who needs that? Who needs any of you? You're not ready for adventures or danger. You're better off staying here. Safe and sound behind dungeon walls.
Zelly stepped onto the lift and pulled the lever and kept her back to them. This was for their own good. So why did she feel oily all over like she badly needed a bath? She closed her eyes tight and listened to the gears rattling as she rose higher and higher, leaving three hurt monsters on the landing below.
You can't go where I'm planning to go, she thought.
Resolute once more, she just had to get through detention, then she'd be gone.
If you knew what I really was, if you knew I was a human, you wouldn't want to follow me. You'd want me dead.
Skipping detention was a surefire way to get noticed, and at that moment Zelly wanted anything but. So she went dredging it with every tense muscle and sinew in her body. It took her a while to find the detention hall. Surprisingly, this was her first time. Most of her scuffles with bullies swept under the rug and forgotten. They walked away with their pride bruised, and no big tough gnolls or prideful bugbears wanted to admit they had been beaten by the skinniest minotaur on the planet. Since it was nothing but silent time to contemplate her wrongdoing, Zelle decided to use it to consider even more wrongdoing, the kind that wouldn't just get her detention, but suspension. But she had to go. Every detention was a risk. Everyone turned to stare at her as she finally arrived at the hall, 4 minutes late. She shrank, hoping that her horns were perfectly straight and believable as she kept her head down and crossed the ominously swaying, perilously narrow bridge that led to the suspended stone platforms of the detention hall. Below, probably leaking over from the flowing lava lake beneath the dungeons, lay a bubbling magma pool. Her clothes itched. Her skin, already pickling with sweat through the rolling red lava, lay far, far below. It was Professor Vileton's turn to preside over the hall. Her thin, withered body curled over a granite podium at the opposite edge of the platform from where Zelle had arrived. Her brittle hair trailed down to her waist, a backpack worth of pencils and erasers caught in the scraggly mane. Professor Vileton either didn't notice them there or didn't care. A night hag, Zelle couldn't imagine a more perfect creature to walk over detention. A hag's most coveted prize was virtue turned to villainy, and even a brief stay in this place could turn the goodiest two-shoes into a miscreant fit for the academy. The magma bellow churned, bubbling like a cauldron. Zelly noticed familiar faces staring at her as she shuffled onto the platform and hunted for an empty desk. Hugo, Snabla, and Bauble had all managed to land themselves in detention, too. It was too stupid to be a coincidence.
"What are you doing here?"
she muttered out of the corner of her mouth as she passed them. Bauble, the book, bounced giddily on their desk.
"I pretended to be a cabinet for Gorball uniforms and scared the Cocupton so badly I think she soiled herself. I've always wanted to see the Hall of Eternal Suffering and Monotony. Isn't it incredible? It's so, so hot. They say a dozen students have perished here for sheer boredom."
Snabla appeared less thrilled and actively avoided making eye contact with Zelle. That was just fine with her. She had hoped her speech to them in the hallway had frightened them off for good.
"I told Gast he should... He's just a dumb skull,"
the kobold sighed.
"He no believe Snabla's here anyway."
And the unlikeliest denizen of the Hall of Eternal Suffering and Monotony Detention Hall went last.
Hugo clacked his talons together nervously, crammed into the desk like a giant stuffed in a lunch sack.
I did nothing.
Zelly snorted and shook her head. Even whispering, they had drawn the roving eye of Professor Viletongue, who squinted in their direction.
I just came along, Hugo added glumly. Apparently, they will not actually stop you from coming here voluntarily.
He glanced around and shivered.
And who would?
Good question.
Zelly kept moving, taking a desk a few rows ahead of the others. A gnoll with a heavy patchwork of scars and a crooked snout growled at her from the right-hand corner. Two stoop-shoulder orges passed notes to her left. Zelly slumped down into a desk and found that someone had carved their rudimentary portrait of Syndro the Youngling's last year's Weatherdeep Dragon's Prom King.
Pathetic,
she muttered, covering the idiotic portrait with her elbow. Professor Viletongue cleared her throat, her eyes becoming somehow even squintier as she glared at Zelly. She appeared to consult a long, long curling roll of parchment on her desk, a scroll, no doubt, with a list of detention attendees and their crimes. She heard the old night hag spit from her podium. The platform fell silent then, save for the constant bubbling of the lava below. The fake horns on Zelly's hand were killing her, the bases poking into his skin and the heat making her scalp sweat unbearably. She fidgeted and closed her eyes, then crossed her arms and laid her chin on the forearms. Maybe she would be the 13th student to die of boredom and anxiety. Her leg bounced. She wanted to be gone, to be out of the academy and on her way to Horntree Village before anyone realized her plans or discovered her real identity. Behind her, she gradually noticed whispers. She glanced over her shoulder to find Hugo, Snabla, and Bobble all leaning close to one another, discussing something urgently. As soon as she did, they shut up. Zelly slowly turned around, then whipped back to catch them mid-whisper. The owlbear scratched innocently at his neck.
What are you planning back there?
She murmured, risking Viletongue's wrath. The massively thick chains holding the platform suspended above the lava shifted and the whole floor swayed.
Nothing,
said Bobble, while Snubla struck out his tongue with spitty
secrets.
Hugo nudged the kobold gently.
Right.
Zelly rolled her eyes.
Nothing secrets.
None of your business,
Snabla said with real venom. Be kind, Hugo warned, in a far gentler tone. Though it is hard to do while our classmates are in danger.
Hugo's right. This is serious,
Bubble chided, though it sounded as if they were saying it to Zelly, too.
Only because you have stinky crush on gut rash,
Snabla snapped at the mimic, batting his eyes.
Do not,
the mimic cried.
Do too.
The platform lurched suddenly, making everyone except the professor gasp. A wail, seemingly from nowhere, pierced the echoing nothingness around them, and shuddering, screaming cries silenced all of them. Hugo looked ready to molt.
What was that?
He whispered, shaking.
You're being too loud,
Zelly replied, pressing one finger to her lips.
So be quiet, and stop scheming whatever you're planning, just stop.
It took only a minute or so for the whispers to start up again, this time more audible.
Do not,
came Bobble's squeak.
You do! You do! You do! You want stinky goblin Guthrash to take you to the spring dance! Prance and prance with Guthrash! This is not what we came here to discuss!
Hugo interrupted them. And that was enough to usher in another shimmy from the platform, a long kneeling wail from whatever upset spirit haunted the hall. Whoever had devised this place for detention had really known what they were doing.
Come sit with us,
Hugo encouraged her gestures. She sighed.
No, leave me alone.
Come on, he said. The desk beside me is free.
No.
Zelly rearranged her arms, revealing again the scratched portrait of Syndro the Youngling. Nobody would shut up about their rivalry with the Waterdeep Dragons, but Zelly couldn't care less. Of course, they were better at everything. Their scales were hard as steel. They could fly, and they could breathe fire. How could a bunch of gangly adolescent kobolds compete with that? Some people just didn't know their place, she thought, then winced.
Like me, do I know my place? Is it here? Is it out there?
There were no more windows in the Hall of Eternal Suffering and Monotony, but Zelly found herself staring at where one might logically be. Her leg twitched again. She looked at the professor, at the gnolls, at the students behind her, conspicuously trying to be inconspicuous, an owlbear, a mimic, and a kobold. This was ridiculous. Who was she kidding? Trying to fit in here, she didn't belong. That much was certain. Maybe she didn't belong with the humans either, and maybe her two mothers really did think she could hack it as a minotaur one day, but whatever her fate was, it seemed certain she had to find it herself.
Steel Strike or Storm Clash? Who am I?
She laid her head down on her arms again and tried to shut out the whispers.
What am I?
She asked again, trying to just close her eyes and sleep.
Whatever it is, I won't find out in here.
Zelly wasn't exactly head of the lurking club like Hugo, but she had paid attention well enough in advance, sneakcraft and scullery, and knew that waiting for nightfall was wisest. And so she did, listless after detention until sunset, stuffing a pack with a rope, dried fruit, flint, and a few coins from her allowance in a fresh linen shirt and a doublet. Other than her textbook, her entire life, it seemed, fit in one traveler's bag. Even during semester breaks, Zelly lived on school grounds since her professor mother had permanent housing at the academy.
This place is all I know.
And she quietly packed her things. Her Uru's roommate, Bloppy, sleeping deeply across the way. Zelly tore a piece of parchment from her school notes and found a quill on her desk, still ready from the morning's homework.
How to start? How to...
Zelly wiped her sleeves across her eyes blindly, knowing the tears would come soon. She squinted down at the uneven, wrinkled parchment writing by moonlight, the window already cranked open and the robe dangling there, waiting for her. She didn't dare light a candle and wake Bloppy, the quiet, bookish ooze slumbering beneath a Dungeon Academy Flump's pennant.
Moms,
Zelly wrote, the quill scratching loudly in the dead silence of the dank, darkened room.
Moms, I love you. I'll be back soon. Please don't worry about me. Z.
She placed the note on her desk beside the velvet box, much like the one she had gifted her mother that morning for her birthday. Inside lay a fidgel green nose ring, one sized for Zelly's far smaller face. One day, when she was old enough, she would get to have her nose pierced. That was the Minotaur way. But that was earned. and now she was running away from the earning.
I'm sorry. I'm not what you thought I would grow up to be, she thought.
Zelly touched the box gently, then hoisted her pack onto her shoulders, clasped an old cloak around her neck, and tiptoed to the window. A sky crowded with stars lay draped across the landscape, everything outside the confines of the hidden mountain school still and almost peaceful. The trees down in the courtyard turned into what looked like tiny toys by the distance. She gulped, gripped the rope tightly, and swung out into the cold night air, shivering as she thought of the deathly sheer drops visible below her boots. For a moment, the warm safety of her little shattered room seemed tempting indeed. If she climbed back inside, she could crumble up the note and just get on with life. All of this reckless, forgotten. No, she breathed out, watching silvery, curseless float up on the way. No. She would never be able to forget what she had seen in the textbook, or what she had heard in the dean's office. Inside that room, regret and frustration waited for her. Outside, there were answers. Answers and danger. Zelly went down the rope, not sure, but sure enough. The way down was hard, and while she was strong for her age, Zelly had not anticipated much weight the pack would add. Almost at once, her shoulders began to ache, and her hands grew slick with sweat around the rope. The mountainous facade gradually sloped outward as she descended, giving her more divots and crags to dig her boots into. But even so, she could feel her hands beginning to slip. The fibrous rope cut into her palms, and the pain in her shoulders began to bother her in earnest.
"Don't look down. Don't look down."
One boot slid right off the next foothold, a cascade of pebbles skittering down the rock, frightening her. She gasped and clung tighter to the rope, but it was of no use. Her hands were too tired. Snap! Her balance overturned from the sudden momentum of her foot falling out from under her, just about level with the treetops. She did not have much further to go.
Just hold on, just a little bit longer.
Zelly scrambled and scrambled, hands desperately scratching at the rope, and then the sheer rock face of the mountain. But there was nothing to hold on to, and Zelly cried out, tumbling, free plunging through the trees and down the mountainside. That concludes Chapter 4 of D&D Dungeons Academy, No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rook and illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing.